Now let me invite you to take your Bibles, and I promise I won't keep you past 12:30. Turn back to Acts chapter 26, if you would. This morning, I would have us to consider the call to service for Paul from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we are in Acts 26. Let me just remind you of verses 15 to 18. Paul asks the voice from out of this bright light, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." And Paul says in verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." So we want to take a look at Paul's call to service and ministry by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember back in the first passage in Acts, which spoke about Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, remember where that's located? Acts chapter 9. Very good. Acts chapter 9. In verse 15 and 16, we read this. "But the Lord said unto him," that is Ananias, "Go thy way, for he," Paul, "is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." If you remember that passage, Ananias' concern was, and he expressed this to the Lord, he said, "Lord, this guy, this Paul, we've heard from many how he has persecuted the church, and he's come here to Damascus to do the same thing, to arrest people." But Jesus' instructions to Ananias were, "You go to Paul." He was to restore his eyesight. But he said to Ananias that this Paul is a chosen vessel unto me. What a wonderful testimony that is for the Apostle Paul. Here's the persecutor of the church, and yet he is a chosen vessel to the Lord Jesus for a special purpose that he has for him. And so we learn from that passage in Acts chapter 9 that Paul was a chosen vessel for service unto the Lord Jesus, and that he would bear the name of Jesus Christ before kings, before Gentiles, and before Jews. That takes in everybody in the world, all men. Now, in Paul's testimony before Agrippa here in Acts 26, he adds a few more details to what Jesus said to him. More detail than what Luke records in Acts chapter 9. And that's okay. I mean, Paul was right there in the midst of that, so he's telling us by his own testimony exactly what Christ had said. So notice the purpose of Christ's appearing to Paul. There's a couple of things. Number one, he has appeared to Paul to, as he says, "make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen." What tense would that be? That's the past tense, and probably including the present, right where he is. "And of those things in the which I will appear," what tense is that? That's future, "unto thee." So here's the purpose that Christ has for calling Paul. He is to be a minister and a witness for the Lord Jesus of those things that he has seen and the things that will yet be revealed unto him in the future. The word minister is the Greek word huperites. Huperites. It means basically a servant, but in an official kind of position. It's one who renders service. It's used of an officer in the government or in the military. It's referred to as an attendant to the king. This is a word that means a soldier of a king or attendant in a synagogue. Officers, magistrates. It's basically a servant, a minister. Now, the term witness is the Greek word martus, and basically means a witness. It's that word from which we get our English word martyr, right? A martyr, martus. But basically, it means a witness, to tell something that you have observed or seen yourself as a form of testimony. This perhaps relates to what Jesus said in that Paul would suffer great things for the name of the Lord Jesus back in chapter 9, verse 16. He would be a martyr of sorts. Paul would serve Christ and be a witness for him. And that was the purpose that Christ had for him. Do you remember what Jesus said to the 11 apostles just before he ascended back into heaven in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? He said to them, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." The word witnesses there is the same Greek word, martus, martyrs, eyewitnesses. Now, while Paul was not there on the Mount of Olives when Christ ascended back up into heaven, he had been given the same mandate and purpose as those other 11 apostles. This clearly, Paul's testimony here is clearly his call to apostleship, to serve and to witness unto Christ. And you know what? That's the same kind of mandate that we all have as believers in the Lord Jesus, to be witnesses unto Jesus, to show by our lives and express through our words that Christ, what Christ has done, and that he is the incarnate, only begotten Son of the living God, who came to save us from our sins, who was buried and who rose again from the dead on the third day. To attest to the fact that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, Ephesians 3:17, and that Christ and God the Father desires that all would come to know the Savior by faith, that he might dwell in their hearts as well. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Peter records in his letters. That's God's desire. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us in heaven, and he gave the promise that if I go and prepare that place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's John 14:1. And so we have opportunity to be a witness about all of those truths concerning the Lord Jesus. And by life and by word, we can tell others about what Christ, who Christ is and what he has done and why they need to know him as their Savior as well. So Paul's service and witness unto the Lord Jesus was the purpose for Christ calling him. Now, notice in that verse, in verse 16, Jesus says that he would minister and be a witness those things he had already seen and those things that Christ would yet reveal unto him, right, past and future. What things had Paul already seen that he could be a witness to or serve concerning? What does Jesus mean here, to witness the things you've already seen? Well, I might suggest a few things for you. I might suggest that it would include, perhaps, all of those times and situations that Paul had been engaged in arresting and imprisoning believers in Christ. He has gone out of his way to persecute the church, to arrest Christians. In fact, he had letters and commendation from the priests in Jerusalem to go to Damascus to do the same thing. But I can't hardly believe that Paul would be engaged in all of that to see those believers in Christ who would stand strong and firm in their faith, be willing to be imprisoned and not give up their faith in Christ, that could not have had some kind of impact upon life, Paul's life, his thinking, and his actions. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the Word of God. And these believers in Christ were just simply saying, listen, we believe what the prophets have said concerning the Messiah to come, and we believe Jesus is the Messiah. And they're willing to stake their lives on that very thing. How could Paul not have been impacted by their testimony and by their lives as well? He had perhaps witnessed the faith of those believers, their endurance in that faith, their trust in Christ, even in such life-threatening situations as Paul was bringing to them. Perhaps the things that Paul had seen in the past would include the inner struggle and conviction Paul must have had during those times. Maybe doubts that he really was doing God's work after all. Remember what Jesus said to him in verse 14. He said to Paul that it was hard for him to kick against the goads, those sticks that try to get Paul onto a right path. And he was kicking against it constantly. And perhaps under conviction of the Holy Spirit and the things that he saw in those Christians who were willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. Maybe that witness that he could talk about would have been his own struggle and conviction. We know that he must have understood, not only because of Jesus' statement, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the goads, but when Jesus revealed himself to Paul on that road to Damascus, there was an immediate change in his life. Immediately he recognized that this was the Lord Jesus. In Acts chapter 9, he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? There was an immediate change. He must have had such a conflict in his thinking and in his mind down through all of the years that he was persecuting the church, that when Jesus finally revealed himself to him, that was enough. Everything came together and he was willing to submit himself to Christ and to serve him. When Paul was saved there on the road to Damascus after he received his eyesight back, we read that he right away preached Christ in the synagogues of Damascus. And what did he preach? That Jesus is the Son of God. You can read about that in Acts chapter 9, verse 20 to 22. Immediately he started to preach that Jesus, and remember he was persecuting Jesus up till that point, but now he's preaching in the synagogues that Christ is the Son of God. What a dramatic change for the Apostle Paul. I'm sure his witness of things already seen would include the whole situation on the road to Damascus, the light, the voice, Jesus speaking to him, the blindness, the call to serve, all of those things he could use in his ministry and his witness to those Gentiles, Jews, and kings. Awesome when you think about the fact that as zealous as Paul was to persecute the church, now he's just as zealous to preach Christ as the Son of God. It's amazing what Christ can do in our lives, right? To make such drastic changes possible. But Paul was also to minister and testify about the things that would be yet revealed to him. What about the future things that Christ would yet reveal to him? What's that all about, and how does that work? Well, perhaps Paul's testimony in the book of Galatians might help us here. So keep your finger in Acts 26, but come back to go ahead to Galatians chapter 1. This is very interesting, coming from the Apostle Paul. Galatians 1 and verse 10. Paul writes to the Galatians, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." And being a servant to Christ is exactly what he had been called to do. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but, how did he get it? By the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into, where? Arabia, of all places, and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. What in the world did Paul do in Arabia? Why Arabia of all places to go to? So you see the scenario? Road to Damascus, bright light, Jesus revealing himself to Paul, giving him this call to witness and to serve and to preach among Gentiles, Jews, and kings. And immediately in Damascus, he started to preach Christ that he is the Son of God. But somewhere in between that, Paul took a trip down to Arabia. He didn't confer with other people. He didn't go to Jerusalem to the apostles that were before him. He received the gospel not by any teaching of man or anybody telling him about it, but that Christ revealed that truth to him. And it would seem to me to be that's what happened down in Arabia. What's in Arabia? Do you know that in Arabia is the place where God met with Moses at Mount Sinai? Mount Sinai is referred to as being in Arabia. Probably not in the area of Mount Sinai as you see on maps today, but probably on the western coast of Saudi Arabia today. The land of Midian, it's called, and that's in the west side of Arabia. Paul says, I went there. I believe he went to Mount Sinai. I think he went to the place where God gave Moses the law and the Ten Commandments. It was the same place where the prophet Elijah went to be instructed of God, to be taught of God concerning his service as a prophet, and to have the Lord clarify a few things for him while he was down there. In 1 Kings 19, when Elijah went down to Mount Horeb, we know that Mount Horeb is the same place as Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai or Horeb seems to be a God's school for teaching his people. And I think that's where Paul went, to be taught of the Lord Jesus, the things that he would need to know when he went out to minister and to witness. It was there in Arabia that Paul was taught of Christ concerning the things he was to preach. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, chapter 3, in the gospel, what the gospel text is, Paul said that he did not receive it of men. Well, I'm going to have to look it up. Sorry. Verse 3, Paul said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Right? How that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That was received by Paul, I believe, by revelation from Christ, probably when he was down there in Arabia. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, the passage of scripture where Paul explains the communion table, remembering the Lord around the table, he says this in verse 23 of chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and so on. This was a revelation that Paul received from Christ. And I kind of think it was down there in Arabia when he went down there. We don't know how long he was down in Arabia, but certainly long enough for Christ to teach him the things that he would need to say and to express in his ministry as an apostle. And we also realize that during the days of his ministry, the Lord Jesus from time to time revealed some things for him as well. We think back into the previous chapters in Acts, where after Paul had his little meeting with the high priests and so on, after he was initially arrested, and Jesus came to him by night at nighttime and said, "Paul, be encouraged. You're still going to get to Rome." Right, and so there were some things along the way, which makes sense because he was a called apostle of Jesus Christ and had that kind of relationship. So we find, first of all, then that Paul is called to be a minister and a witness of the things that he has seen and of the things yet to be revealed. What an awesome ministry that would be. Not only to have confidence to tell the things that you know about and that you have witnessed with your own eyes, but then to trust the Lord to open up other avenues of revelation and service to him as the days go on. There's great trust, there's great hope that would be there for the Apostle Paul. And I think that all of us have that mindset as well. We're called to serve and to minister, to witness. We can tell people about what we were before we were saved. We can let people know how we got saved. And certainly we ought to tell them what's changed in our lives since we've been saved. We can help them to understand the Word of God and what the Lord has said here. So we all have a good ministry. We're not apostles like Paul. That was a very closed office to 12. But certainly as believers in the Lord Jesus, we have ministry and we can witness to others around us. So we just need to be involved in that. Very quickly, the second thing to note here is God's deliverance of his servant. His deliverance of his servant. In verse 17, Jesus says, "Delivering thee from the people." So he's sending him out to minister and to witness, and he's going to deliver him during all of that. "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee." The word "deliver" means to pluck out, to rescue, or even to choose out. It's an interesting use, or at least use of that term. This deliverance of Paul promised by Christ seems to mean that Paul would be protected by the Lord Jesus from the people and from the Gentiles so that he would be able to do his work without any kind of real hindrance. It would not be without suffering for the name of Christ. That's already been told him. He's going to suffer for the name of Christ. But he would be delivered from men in order to accomplish God's purpose for his ministry. Paul suffered a lot in the course of his service for Christ. But the Lord delivered him out of it all so that he might carry on serving, witnessing, evangelizing, starting churches, and so on. You could read 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 18. We'll not do that for time this morning, but 2 Corinthians 4, 18, 8 to 18 tells us that Paul, while he was suffering many things, he was not absolutely pushed down to the ground. The Lord enabled him through all of that to keep going. Remember the one time I think it was in Asia, when the Jews were so enraged at him, they took him to the side of a hill and they stoned him, and they thought they had killed him. They left him for dead. And after they all left, guess what? Paul got up, went forward, and continued on doing what he's doing. I think that's part of the deliverance that God had in mind for the Apostle Paul, even during his suffering. The word deliverance is a wonderful word. It brings peace of heart and mind. To know that we are saved from the penalty and power of sin in our lives as believers in Christ is extremely liberating, isn't it? Peaceful. Just to know that we've been saved from our sins. Here's what Paul said in Galatians 1, 4, and 5. "Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." We too have been delivered from the fear of men by our faith in Christ. Paul's prayer in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2 is, he said, "Brethren, pray for us." It's a hard go that he has. Not all men have faith. And there were some dangerous situations that he found himself in, but God delivered him, protected him, allowed Paul to carry out ministry until such time as the Lord said, okay, you're done, time to come home. And tradition holds that Paul was beheaded in Rome after being imprisoned there the second time. And so there's a wonderful liberty that comes knowing that we are delivered, that Christ will continue to deliver us until such time as he takes us home. The third thing to note here is Paul's ministry focus. Verses 17 and 18, the Lord says that he's going to deliver him from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. You know the word apostle, you know what it means? Sent one. A sent one. And now is Paul's instructions and call to go. He's being sent. He's going to the Gentiles. He's going to the Jews because they would be Paul's people, per se. And he's being sent to accomplish five things very quickly. Number one, to open their eyes. Open their eyes to what? To see the truth. To see their desperate need of a Savior because they are sinners. To help them understand that Jesus Christ has come to save his people from their sins. That Christ rose again from the dead on the third day. To open their eyes to see that truth through the gospel preaching. Secondly, to turn them from darkness to light. Men love darkness rather than light because the scripture says their deeds are evil. And so there is a change that comes through believing in Christ, to turn them from darkness to light. Thirdly, to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. Satan's not going to like losing some of his people to God, and he's going to make things rough. And so we need to be clear as we present the gospel, pray for those to whom we speak, that they would have the desire to turn away from darkness and the power of Satan unto God. Fourthly, he says that Paul's ministry is going to bring them to a point where they may receive the forgiveness of sins. How does that happen? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, he is saved from his sin and is forgiven his sins forever. And then the fifth thing that he's going to accomplish is to bring them to a point of inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in Christ. Inheritance belongs to a family. Sanctified by faith in Christ is the means for being born again, being saved, being part of the family of God. And when we're part of the family of God, there is an inheritance awaiting each one of us. And what an inheritance awaits for those who belong to Christ. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance, listen to this, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. An inheritance awaiting us in glory. That's something to look forward to, it seems to me. The blessings of our inheritance are eternal life, as is mentioned in various passages throughout the New Testament. Serving in the kingdom of God, and I think just being in the presence of God himself for eternity will be a wonderful thing to inherit. And if you're still not sure what all of that might include, Revelation 21, verse 7, this is right near the end of the book of Revelation, it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And so believers who are, we are the overcomers, will inherit all things, everything. All that belongs to God will be part of our inheritance. So Paul's mandate is clear, isn't it? The task would not be easy, but his purpose and his focus is clear. You are to be a minister and a witness to the things you've seen and the things that will be yet revealed to you. Go to the Gentiles and try and achieve these five purposes. We asked the question, was Paul successful in his mandate from Christ, his call? Well, we have to say that Paul had a great many successes in his ministry in the world, among both Jew and Gentile. Many people had their eyes open to the truth of the gospel. Many people were turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. And you just read through Paul's exploits from Acts 13, which begins his missionary journeys, and just see the number of things that were accomplished through Paul's ministry and witness in various countries in that part of the world. We find that as Paul ministered, all those who believed on Christ through the work of the Apostle Paul had their sins forgiven and the hope of inheritance with all who were sanctified by faith in Christ. The ministry and witness to which Paul was called was monumental. It was a complete about-face from what he had been doing before. And Paul's immediate submission to the call of Christ helps us to understand that all of the things that he had seen had been working in his heart and mind. And when confronted with the Lord Jesus, he willingly submitted to the service of Christ. Paul was gifted to carry out that mandate, I believe. And so we think of ourselves, we are called to serve the Lord, be witnesses unto Christ as well. It may not be as extensive as Paul's ministry was, or as far-reaching as his was, but we have people all around us who need to hear our testimony, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, to have their eyes open to the truth and to have their sins forgiven. There's a work for us to do as well. And while it may not be as big or extensive as Paul's, we should not think that ours is a minimal or, you know, unnecessary. God has people in our lives that need to hear from us. And I trust that you will understand that ministry. There's work for us to do. Let's just do it. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this passage of Scripture, Paul's testimony of your call to him to serve and to witness. We are encouraged by what we have seen here in his testimony this morning. And we, I trust, will in our own lives submit to you and to the work that you have for us to do. You have gifted us in various and many ways to do things for thyself and for the church of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you might find us ready, willing, and surrendered to do those things that you have given to us. We pray for strength. We pray for power as the Spirit of God fills us to do those things, and that your name would be glorified above all things, and that many people might come to know you as their Lord and Savior, and gain in that inheritance that you are providing for those who know you and who love you and who serve you. Thank you for your word this morning. Impress it upon our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.